In Proverbs chapter 28, we continue our study here, and we left off here in verse number 18. Verse number 18 is where we'll pick it up. And for you that are here and not saved, we want to remind you about what it says in verse number 13. I really like that verse, and it is so true. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Repent. Repent before the Lord and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's what the word of the Lord says unto us. And so don't cover those sins. Don't keep them to yourself, but go to the Lord with them. He's mighty and able to save. In verse 18, whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved. Isn't that what it says? That's what it says. Yeah, whoso walketh uprightly shall be saved. So do good, do good, do good, and you shall be saved. We know that that's the case. No, we can do no good to present to God Almighty in exchange for His saving of our soul. Salvation is free. We have nothing God wants in what we can do or what we can barter or trade with God. What this is talking about, whoso walketh uprightly in entirety, okay, that's a synonym for that word, or integrity or truth. I think that word truth really tells us about it. When we hear the truth of God's word, the Lord says, repent and believe the gospel, trust in Jesus Christ. God says, I save sinners. Seek me while I may be found, and hear my word going out to you, and receive it, and believe me. And so, one that does walk in the truth, hears what God says, and believes what God says, will be saved, shall be saved. But it's not talking about what we can do and what we can offer to God. I was reading something that Spurgeon had written, and one of the things that he said in that passage and that writing that he had is, sinner, don't look to make yourself good enough to present yourself before God. You cannot do it. You know, give that up. It's folly to consider that you can bring yourself to a state to be presentable before God. We are not. You are not. Come as you are. And taking God's side against yourself. Hear the truth. Whoso walketh in the truth, whoso walketh in true integrity, what God says, that what God says is the truth, shall be saved. Because see, it's the Lord that has told us the truth, not any way of man. But he that is perverse in his ways shall fall at once. Well, I know somebody that was perverse and wicked and lived 80-some years, 90-some years, 100 years, and they didn't seem to fall at once. Oh, a short time of life compared to the endlessness of eternity? It is going to be quick. If we could ask someone that's at the end of their life, facing at that moment eternity, no doubt that they would say it's just been, like the Lord says, a vapor. It's just been a shadow. Because all at once, eternity will be there. Whoso walketh uprightly, whoso walketh in the truth, shall be saved. Pursue what God says. What the Lord says is truth. And seek him in that. But he that is perverse in his way shall fall at once. Indeed, that is the case. Verse 19, he that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread. Work, and you'll have something to eat. Right? That's what he says. But he that followeth after vain or empty persons shall have poverty more than you could ever. Poverty will fill your plate. Followeth after vain persons. Who are these? Well, they're empty. There's no substance. There's no uprightness in the previous verse in them. They're not entire. They have no integrity. They don't bear the truth. Vain persons that seek what makes sense to the carnal mind. Popularity with men. And looking to be in with men. I think of those when I was young, and their families were blessed to have plenty of provision and money. And those young fellows that I knew that were in those families, and they had the family had a poor attitude, they would look with their money to buy friends. And buy popularity, and that it's vanity. It'll go away. There's no substance. Nobody cared for them beyond what their money could buy. It's vanity, as an example. And we don't need to follow after that. We need to choose wisely our friends. We need to be friendly to all, don't we? But those that we would fellowship with, and those that we would take advice from, we need to choose wisely. Verse 20, a faithful man shall abound with blessings. Obeying the Lord, faithfulness, and this is not talking about self-faithfulness, this is talking about the precept and the word and the command of God, shall abound with blessings. But listen to this, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. He's working hard, working fast to get there, to make haste, to be rich. That's his intent, is to be rich. There's a problem with that. We'll come back to it. Verse 21, to have respect of persons is not good. One that has respect of persons, for a piece of bread, that man will transgress. For just a morsel of bread, one that has respect of persons, when they're put over the barrel about an issue, they'll cave. They'll cave in a heartbeat. And we have to watch and be careful about being a respecter of persons. In James chapter 2, let's go ahead over here and just read quickly about being a respecter of persons. And we can find ourselves to struggle with it. We can. That way, and we need to realize that, and realizing that, in that we can be helped. In James chapter 2, verse number 1, the apostle writes, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. Okay? Don't do that. Verse number 3, for and ye have respect of him that weareth the gay clothing. It's talking about in verse 2 about one coming into the congregation, one all dressed up to the hilt, having a gold ring and goodly apparel. And then there's a poor man that comes in with, it says, vile raiment. Okay? And it might be dirty. It might be smelly. And we do need to clean up. But that's what it says. His raiment is vile. Any number of ways it could be vile. I don't believe it's referring to it being wicked or sinful. I don't think that is the context. But we get one that's dressed very well, one that has this vile raiment. In verse number 3, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. But you just sit here on the floor. Oh, the Lord, talking about the Lord getting riled about something. He says, are ye not, verse number 4, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, but which he hath promised to them that love him? Not many noble are called. Not many wise, right? But ye have despised the poor, verse number 6. And then we come on down here, verse 8. And if ye will fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect of persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. The soul of a person is what's valuable. And we all, before the Lord, need to do well with what we've been given of Him. But we need to watch when we would hold that person or that soul, that one, in disdain, or thinking of them as lower. The Lord got on the Pharisees, Sadducees, lawyers, and scribes of His day about calling one a fool, saying that there would be no hope of one. He said it's dangerous to be in. The soul of every person is of great, great value, no matter what they wear. We need to realize and remember that before us, each one of us, each and every one of us before the Lord are low, low, low compared to the Lord. And He has come to us. In Leviticus 19, let's just read quickly here. That's the Old Testament reference. And in Leviticus chapter 19, Leviticus chapter 19, verse number 15, the scripture says, "And ye shall do no unrightness in judgment." That in James talked about our encounter of folks in the services or as we go. Here, the down to the nitty gritty, where the tire, the rubber meets the road, if you will, of this respect of persons, is that in judgment. "Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. But in righteousness shalt thou judge thy neighbor." Speaking to the judges and the way that it's to be done in Israel and the principle of the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, that's when they've done something wrong, whether poor or whether rich, what the Lord says needs to go. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse number 17, "Ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of man, for the judgment is God's, and the cause that is too hard for you," Moses says, "bring it unto me, and I will hear it." And then also in chapter 16 of this same book, chapter 16, verse number 19, "Thou shalt not wrest judgment, thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift, for a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous." And so, a couple aspects in this respecter of persons. What we read in James deals with us dealing with people and how it is so easy amongst mankind for us to class people. Class people, and we don't need to be about classing people. Everybody's in the same class. They're human. Now, sometimes people don't behave well, and we have to guard our families against that, or we need to guard ourselves from that. And so, but nevertheless, we don't need to think ever about a soul that there's no hope for that soul, because the Lord saves the vilest of the vile. He saved us, okay? But then, in the aspect, in the facet of judgment, God says, this is this way. Don't do this, or do this, and one be found guilty, whether they be poor, or whether they be rich. What's at issue is there a person that has disobeyed, and they need to be held accountable that way. There's a, no matter their race, or where they come from, it all needs to apply. The law of the Lord and the rule of law needs to apply across the board in every respect. To have respect of persons, back in Proverbs 28, verse number 21, to have respect of persons is not good, for a piece of bread that man will transgress. Don't be found as one being respecter of persons. And this, I'll go ahead and say this. This is along the line of the kind of person that we are. You know, we need to be one person. We don't need to be one person at church and another person at work and another person at home. Although we, like at home, as parents, we've got to have the order of the home and stuff like that, and we deal with things there. But we don't need to be one person with one group of people and another person with another group of people. We need to be the same person always. And so that's another facet of how we can have respect of persons by the way that we behave. And verse 22, we'll get back to verse 20 also. "He that hasteth to be rich, looking to gain, and have that money stacked up, and have that provision, and have the stuff of life in abundance. He that hasteth towards that, see, it's not, being rich is not a sin. Being rich is not a sin. If the Lord gives wealth and riches, then we'll see here what we're going to read in 1 Timothy. If the Lord gives that, we're to take it and use it well. And as it is in our country, compared to the world, everybody in our country, by the standards of the world, is rich, is very wealthy. And so, and with wealth, with riches, comes responsibility. So it's not like one is off scot-free before the Lord. There's a greater responsibility for a greater provision or blessing from the Lord in material things. But here, it's not the wealth, it's not the riches that are the fault, it's the hastening to it, the desiring of it, the clamoring for it. Okay, listen to what it says here. He that hasteth to be rich shall not be innocent. That's what it says in verse 21. There's going to be hook and crook involved. Hastening to it, there's going to be hook and crook involved. Verse number 22, he that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye. And a number, a multitude of things that evil eye could be lend itself to rob someone. We saw about those kind of people in Proverbs chapter 1. To look to who has what, and then set on a course to work them to get what they have. He that hasteth to be rich shall not be innocent. He that hasteth to be rich hath an evil eye. And listen to this. And considereth not that poverty shall come upon him. If wealth, riches, becomes one's God, then they well may end up very, very poor in health. There's one God, and that's God Almighty. And He is to be the God of all, and to be honored and sought as the God of each and every person. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, let's take a look over here. This chapter deals with this, coming to we that are saved. And I thank the Lord that the Lord blesses with bounty to His people. It's not a given that He will do so with all, but He does with some, and that's His working, and that's what He does. And so here, it deals with that and deals with the whole spectrum here as far as what the Lord blesses with in material possessions. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, let's read here. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor. So here is the one that's, and we have a hard time understanding this, but that's in bondage to another. They're their servant. They have a master. And the Lord says, honor that master, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. The Scripture also talks about, and the Apostle Paul writes, that when one is saved, even though they might be held captive or be a servant, a slave of another, that yet in being the Lord's and being saved by Him, they are the Lord's free man. Because are they not free? They're free from sin. And they are free in the Lord. And one day, eternally, they will only be Lord's. Okay? They are the Lord's now. But they have a master on this earth. But one day they will be there, and it'll be between them and the Lord with their brethren, if you understand that. And so the one that is even in bondage needs to do well. We have the example of Joseph, don't we? He did well. We have the example of Daniel. He was captive. He couldn't go back to Israel. And he did well for those that he was in bondage to. And he says here, count those masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. And that they have, and they that have believing masters, let them not despise them. That's talking about in the heart. That's a heart thing. Let them not despise them, because they are brethren. Well, you know, why doesn't he do thus and so for me? Because he's been blessed with abundance and you know. No, don't despise them. The Lord is in control. Do well, do well, do well. And the Lord will take care of the other. But rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. They're saved also. These things teach and exhort. He says, Timothy, you tell it and tell it and tell it. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, these are wholesome words that he's given, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. Buck against where the Lord has placed us, and we will have nothing but trouble. Buck against where the Lord has placed us, and we will bring shame to our Lord and Savior. We need to rejoice evermore, even if we're found in this. And I might need you to remind me someday, okay? It's easy to say, but it is the truth. And so where we find ourselves, where the Lord has placed us, what He's given us, we need to be thankful to Him and do well to all that are around. Otherwise, if we don't, we're not a good witness, are we? Perverse disputings of men and of corrupt minds, he goes on, and destitute of the truth. See, if we don't abide by these things, this is what we're yielding. It's not good fruit, is it? And he says here, and listen to this, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. Just because someone has a bunch of stuff doesn't mean that they're godly. Doesn't mean that they're accepted or reverenced of the Lord. Doesn't mean that at all. But there are those that believe. They see themselves, they believe themselves to be in the faith of the Lord, and they have to be right because they've been blessed with so much stuff. Be careful. Who's the prince in the power of the air? He can bless with stuff too, can he? He can. The Lord does, and Satan can. And so that needs to be known. It needs to be. We need to have a sober attitude about it. Just because it's going well and making a lot of money doesn't necessarily mean that it's right. We need to analyze and take a consideration of the situation before the Lord. Supposing that gain is godliness, they don't necessarily equal each other. Okay? From such withdraw thyself. Here's the way it is, the Lord says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. See, where the Lord's placed us. And we don't need to be a slug. We need to do and pursue with what the Lord's given us. And we need to take the Word of God and put it in its place. And if our pursuits would take us contrary to what God says, then back off. Quit that pursuit. But if we can pursue and be in parallel and in sync with what the Word of God says, then do it. If the Lord's blessed with it, do it. But put those things in balance. For we brought nothing into this world, verse 7, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. It won't happen, will it? The man that said, I want you to take all my money and line my whole coffin with it, and I want to take all that money with me. And so they had all the money at his visitation around him in the coffin and everything. And then everybody went out. And the wife was there, and they're getting ready to close the coffin. And the wife said, take all the money out. And I said, well, ma'am, your husband said that he wanted to be buried with all of his money. He said, I'm going to take care of that. Take all that money out. They took all the money out, and she put a check on his chest. We're not going to take it with you. And the thing is, it doesn't spend over on the other side, even if it did go. It doesn't, does it? We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, remember the Lord, what He said in what Matthew chapter 6, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich, so see, here's the same pursuit, hastening to be rich. They that will be rich fall in temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lust, which drown men in destruction and perdition. You know what I think of when I read that verse? Almost to my recollection, without fail, when I read that verse, I think about wealthy men and some that I have known in the course of my life that have pursued over much, and you know what they've sacrificed to do it? Their families, their children. And their children take the blessing of the abundance and with that kill themselves. Drive into trees with fancy sports cars, or get hooked on dope and drugs, and look for a relationship in terrible ways, and perdition, destruction, and the drowning in that. And what's all the money do then? It doesn't, does it? Everything needs to be in its place. In its place. There is a place for it. May God help us to find where that is. But they that will be rich fall in temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, desires, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, but the love of it, which while some have coveted after, they want it. They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. They give the whole pile away to have their family back, to have their wife back, to have their husband back, to have their children back, to have even their own lives back. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, the love of money and the hastening to riches. Put it in its place. Pursue what the Lord has given. Do well. Do all things heartily as unto the Lord. But let the word of God rule in the life. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness and godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness, the fruit of the Spirit. Fight the good fight of faith in the Lord. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. He speaks to Timothy, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, the Lord Jesus stayed on track, didn't he? He kept things in the right place. There was no one more wealthy than the Lord Jesus Christ, but he became poor for our sakes, and he was not deterred from that in one whit. See that? Who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Work where the Lord's put you, and use every advantage and blessing that he's given you to pursue, in guideline with his word. And when you need to be promoted, he'll promote you. He'll promote you. But be faithful to him where we're at. The Lord Jesus is promoted, having come meek and lowly, who hath immortality, dwelling in light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see. Jesus is our example in this. To whom be honor and power power everlasting. Amen. Now listen to this. He gets back to the subject. Now, Jesus is the example. Charge them that are rich in this world, so there's going to be those that are going to have means that are the Lord's people. Charge them that they that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in their certain riches. Don't be a respecter of persons, in respecting self over another, but in the living God, trust in the Lord. Listen to this: who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. The wealth and riches are not the sin, but the love of it, making it a god before the Lord, is the problem. He gives all things, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. You want to know what riches are? Riches equal eternal life. There's the true riches. There is the true riches, is eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings, oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. You know, sometimes it happens, and it's sad, as folks, even the Lord's people, are blessed with the things of this life and blessed with abundance, that they can become one temptation and snare that is there is they can become more philosophical and more not needing the provincial way, the low way of the Scripture. May God help us. We need this Scripture no matter what we have, because we need the Lord. We need the Lord in it all. Just want to make sure I caught everything in that I wanted to say. Okay. Back in Proverbs 28. Verse number 23. Don't haste to be rich. Do what the Lord says to do. And do it well. Do all things heartily as unto the Lord. Verse 23. He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. If the one that's on the receiving end will be a hearer of the truth, what a blessing. What a blessing for a parent that's tried to instruct the children in right things, and the child grow up and say, "Dad, you were right. Mom, you were right." Or they say, "Oh, now that I have my own children, I understand where you are coming from." Right? If our heart's right in that, it's a blessing. If we've instructed, if a parent is instructed in the right thing of the Lord, giving what they have received, and then their child gets a hold of it, there's no better blessing than that. He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. Rather than letting him just go on his miserable way, he tells him the truth. It's like we read in Proverbs 27:5, open rebuke is better than secret love. It is. It is. And that doesn't mean necessarily rebuking one in front of everybody. Okay, there needs to be tact. There needs to be discretion in things. We need to always seek to edify. We need to be edifiers in the church, don't we? Builder uppers. And so we could take somebody and deal with them publicly, and what we might be saying is right, but we can destroy them by virtue of the embarrassment. Okay, so we need to watch that. But being open with them about what is true. What is right? In Proverbs 29, just there over on the next page, in Proverbs 29, Proverbs 29, verse 5, a man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. Too much flattery can be a trap for one. It's better to be truthful, and we need to commend those that are worthy of commendation, but we need to be careful about what we hear, and we need to thank the Lord in all things, and we need to be found of the truth. Verse 24, whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith, it is no transgression, the same as the companion of a destroyer. You know what I think about? When I think about this verse, it's funny how different things are. I think about children getting in their mother's purses or their daddy's wallets. Because I knew kids that would steal from their parents. And I'm thankful for the Lord that I was made to be afraid to touch my mother's purse and to touch my daddy's wallet. But I knew of them. They would say, "I raided my mama's purse," or "I got my daddy's wallet and took money out of there." That's what I think. And you know what? It's no good. There needs to be respect for that. And it's not saying that a child can't get something for their parent from their purse or their wallet, but they need to understand it's not theirs. Just as one example. Or one that would steal, robbeth his father or his mother. A child is grown up in their household, and then maybe they live there. We'll just say that they live there, and they think that they can take their parents' stuff and go sell it. It's not theirs. That's a robber. It's a thief. Or maybe they don't live there anymore. And maybe the parents would give free lease as to the use of things that they have, as a parent would do with a child, but then they take it and make it their own. It's no good. And God hates that. God is looking on at that. He's mentioned it here. Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith, that's no transgression, is the same as the companion of a destroyer. Now, those are heavy words, aren't they? And so the parent needs to teach respect, and the children, we need to respect what we're taught and what is our parents, and always be open and upright in it. In thinking of this verse, I thought of 1 Timothy chapter 5. This is dealing with widows, and it's something that's lost in our day. Okay, and so there's a principle that's in here that we want to pull out. Okay, the passage here is about dealing with widows and churches being charged with a true widow. And I'll be honest with you, in my lifetime, and I don't mean this bad, but I've never run into any. I've never been around any widows that met these qualifications. Okay? That met these qualifications where they were to be taken care of by the church. Okay? It is there that the church should do so if a widow is found like this, destitute. It's the church's obligation. But there's some principles and some caveats here, and that whole subject is for another time. But look here. Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith it is no transgression, the same as a companion of a destroyer. Listen to what the attitude here of the Scripture is regarding widows and what children should do. Okay? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 4. Listen to this. If any widow have children or nephews. So if they have children, a widow has children, the charge is not to be charged with them, but their children is to take care of that widow. Or you know what? If they've got a nephew, he's to take care of that woman. Okay? And so it says here, let them learn first to show piety, or respect, support, worship. Those are synonyms for that word piety. At home. And listen to this. And to requite their parents. The nephew is charged with paying back his parents by taking care of his parents' brother, or well, in this case, sister. That's what the Lord thinks about the deal with parents. Not to rob parents, but for children to be there and, if necessary, to pay back their parents. Okay? And I'm not looking to set myself up to get paid back by my kids. But my point is the attitude, one that would say that they're going to take their parents' stuff and rob from them, you know, without permission and take their stuff away, that's not the attitude of the Scripture. The attitude of the Scripture is that children should be there looking to pay back and care for their parents. Even to the extent of, you've got a child here, and their mother and their father, and if their sister is in need of help, I, as their children, am to help and take care of their sister. To pay back my parents for what? For all they did for me. When they fed me when I couldn't, and when they changed my dirty diaper when I couldn't. Well, I never could change my dirty diaper. But you understand what I'm saying. Is to take care, they took care of me, and I'm to pay them back. Even out here at this level. Not to mention about the parents. Isn't it understood? The Lord Jesus talked to those in His day that they said, how was it that went? They said, you thwart the law of God and make it to where one can't even take care of their parents, in that they say to their parents, By whatsoever thou be profited by me, it is a gift. I'm going to dedicate it to the temple, to the its korban. And so they're off the hook on taking care of their parents. And the Lord Jesus Christ made a point about saying that is fraud and that is wicked and sinful before God. They're to take care of their parents. Okay? And see, the thing is, I think if I understand what's going on there, is that what it would take, the expense that it would take that child to take care of their parents, they dedicated it to the Lord, even in a future sense, that they would give it. Therefore, sorry, there's nothing in the budget for me to help you or take care of you, Mom and Dad. And God hates that. God hates, and the Lord said that was wickedness. I don't know if he called it an abomination, but it was close to it, I would imagine. Whoso robbeth father, his father, robbeth his father or his mother, and saith it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer. A companion, a friend of a destroyer. We need to be of an attitude to requite our parents as children. Verse 25, back in Proverbs 28. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, because it's all about self. But he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. And so that's leeway to be overweight, isn't it? The Lord blesses, doesn't he? The Lord is to be trusted, and he's to be honored and praised and worshipped because he's God, period, bottom line. But you know what? He does bless his people. He does honor his word. And that's just on top of what's due him. You know what I'm saying? We're not due any repayment for giving God his due in worship and glory and service and honor. He owes us nothing, but he's very bountiful, isn't he? He's very liberal, isn't he? And so it is. And so I like that verse. That shall be made fat. The synonyms with that is talking about anointing. Or be satisfied. Contentment with godliness is great gain. And are we content in the Lord? We need to be content in the Lord, don't we? Content in the Lord. Proverbs 11:25. Take a look over here. A couple of scriptures and just about this being made fat. Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11. 11:25. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. That's the way the Lord does. And if we as his children do so, there's a blessing there indeed. Maybe we receive nothing in this life, but won't there be blessing and reward with the Lord? Indeed. He promises. Not because it's due us, but he's promised it. In chapter 13, verse number 4, the soul of the sluggard desireth and hath nothing. He wants, but he won't get up and do anything. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Work. Work. And there'll be blessing and help in it. Back in chapter 28, verse 26. He that trusteth in his own heart and is a fool, he that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, trusting in self. But whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered. And that's what Solomon, it's kind of a summary of all that Solomon's been saying, isn't it? Well, hear my words. Put these words in your heart. Follow after them. You'll be helped. You'll be delivered. You'll not walk in the way of oppression and hurt, the effects of wickedness and sin upon the life and upon the body and soul. If you trust in yourself, you're a fool. If you trust in the Lord, there's blessing indeed. In Proverbs chapter 14, Proverbs 14, we'll take a look over here, a couple parallel scriptures. Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 12. You know this, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. What's he say? He that trusteth in his own heart. No, trust in the word of the Lord, what he says. Same verse is repeated in chapter 16, verse 25 also. I just use this as a text, and I want to read it again because it's so apropos for this. In Jeremiah chapter 17, let's read this again here. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, not only another, but even in self, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. He doesn't trust in the Lord, trusts in self. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, that tree, a juniper tree that's there alone and wind-blown and dry, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, nourishment, cooling, help, comfort and peace, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful for the in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Interesting that that verse is there besides what we've just, or after what we just read. I, the Lord, search the heart and try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall he be a fool. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in your judgment. Don't trust in your reasoning. But trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord always. Back in Proverbs 28, verse number 27, we've seen many verses along this line. He that giveth to the poor shall not lack, but he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. We need to be liberal and we need to help. And as this verse here is a great verse along this line. We've read it many times. We'll read it once again. Proverbs 19, verse 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. Do you believe that? It's true. The Lord will do it. He said it and he'll do it. And then in verse number 28 of chapter 28, Proverbs 28, verse 28. When the wicked rise, men hide themselves. But when they perish, the righteous increase. You know, in the end, this is going to be true, isn't it? Because all that are wicked are going to perish eternally. And the righteous indeed will increase. To cover the face of the earth. No more sea. The holy city Jerusalem, being so great and so large, full of the Lord's people and full of the Lord Himself. In verse number 12, we saw this where it says, when righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory, but when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. It's a time where one hides themselves. In verse 28 backs that thought up. When the wicked rise, men hide themselves. Don't want to get the attention of the wicked, lest their wicked ways would be meted out upon them. But when the righteous rule, when the righteous are there, in Proverbs 29, verse 2, listen to this. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. There's no fear of oppression. Just justice and judgment. But when the wicked, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help our nation. May the Lord give us leadership that has a desire for righteousness. Well, Lord willing, next time we'll pick up on chapter 29, and we're coming to the end of the book, and I know it may feel like we're not going to get there, but Lord being our helper, we will. And chapter 29 will be the last chapter, as we understand, that are the words of Solomon. And chapter 30 will go on to another writer, and I find interesting those words of this man here. If you're here and you're not saved, you need Jesus Christ as Savior, and we point you to Him. Repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Jim's got to be something more than that. No, there's not. Salvation's of the Lord. It's in Him. It's in Him, by Him, and you need to go to Him with the need of your soul. Are you a sinner? Well, no, I'm not a sinner. Well, then that's where you need to start, because all of us are sinners. We're all guilty before God. We've sinned against Him. Yeah, we've done our neighbor wrong, no doubt. All of us have. But in doing that, the one we've really done wrong is the Lord who's made us. We're guilty before Him. And you need to know that. I'll say, oh, I know somebody worse than me. See, at your judgment, nothing's going to matter but you. It's you. And the comparison is, it's not to another man or woman or boy or girl upon this earth, but the mark and the comparison of yourself is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's who God receives, is Him. He is the standard. How do you meet that standard? Well, you don't. And so we point you to the Lamb of God. Look to the Lamb of God. He's the Savior. Trust in Him. Rest in Him.